Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
So the Pensacola Shipyard is available for sale, and it is a very large price tag. We all understand that. And it is on the eastern side of Bio Chico, however, which is in the city. However, working waterfronts, you know, are a serious issue in the state of Florida, and the opportunity to potentially partner with the city and maybe pursue waterfront grants to just enhance that entire area and revitalize it is something that I think the staff would like to talk about.
So we'll talk with Administrator Janice Gilley about this this morning at 6:35. But I think what she has in mind, if you don't know where the Pensacola Shipyard is, down there in Bio Chico, and it's like, it's where they're staging all of the Skanska stuff. The concrete is kind of being staged there right now, or was. I don't know how much of that has moved out at this point, quite frankly, because I think a lot of the big pieces are already in place for the northbound span. Anyway, that stretch of waterfront, I think what they have in mind is the possibility of acquiring it and creating a like a waterfront stretch for the city that we would have the use of the way other cities have, you know, waterfront property, where you have waterfront districts, markets, restaurants, walking area. And you know, I mean, I don't know for sure what they have in mind, but I think what they're saying is, well, it is available for sale and it'd be kind of nice for us to own it. And what could we do with it? I don't know. What could we do with it? Because I've been to some cities that have these bustling, you know, it's kind of like the vision board version of what's going to happen at the Port of Pensacola. You know, developing the hashtag connector downtown and then getting a Port of Pensacola that has, I don't know, you know, activities and public access and walkways and, you know, that kind of vision. If you've been to some of these other cities that have this kind of stuff, it's pretty cool. And we don't really have that here exactly. And, well, could we? Wouldn't it be interesting if we did? You know, that's kind of the idea. So, I don't know, I'll talk with her about it this morning, but it is kind of just a, you know, what could be done if we had the right space to do the whatever cool thing is that we're thinking about doing?
There are like five or six properties, maybe seven properties along there that provide an opportunity for revitalization. And also a, you know, a safe harbor in terms of a marina that would be up in a bayou. So there's, you know, it's one of those probably dreams in terms of, you know, of what could be, but I do think it's worth a conversation because I do think that places like Bio Chico are not everywhere along the coast. And it's just, it would be very interesting to look and see what the possibilities would be for our community.
And if you want to, you know, it's not quite the same, but if you want a mini version of that, look over at what's been done behind the Fish House, you know, at Bartram Park. Remember the whole project a couple of years ago where Ray Russenberger wanted basically the debt that was left over after the lawsuit, the failed lawsuit by the Hayward administration to collect all the back taxes against them for, you know, long sordid story. But the end result was a negotiated settlement in which instead of the city paying the legal fees, they're going to pay to put these breakwaters in. And they did. And now there's a marina and now there's boats there every day. I mean, it's just, you know, that was never anything for as long as I lived here until this last year. And now it's really kind of a cool little place. Now, that doesn't have the walk arounds and everything else. But I mean, people are itching to have that kind of thing. You look at the Community Maritime Park on the west side there, and they've got, I think, just the one ramp maybe down now, but the idea of developing that. The marina over on Palafox on the west side there is bustling again after Sally damaged it. So, I don't know, just kind of the possibilities of what could be done. It's kind of a fun thing to think about, you know?
It would be a fun thing. Now, my parents keep their boat in that vicinity, so I've become pretty familiar with what's over there. Because it's odd. You have your marinas. Mm-hmm. You have the yacht club nearby.
Right.
Then you have a shipyard / junkyard because there's an area where they like smash cars over there.
Yep.
And then there's another really nice marina.
Right.
And so I guess you would even out the flow if you were to make it a nice community to walk through and enjoy, add another restaurant or two in there. But where would you put the other stuff?
Right. And, these are all good questions. I don't know the answer. I'm just curious. Something that came up yesterday on Jeff Bergosh's Coffee with a Commissioner, and, they didn't go into much detail. It's an agenda item. I guess it's going to come forward, or they're going to just have a conversation about it is the idea. They're not going to do any voting on it. Not today, anyway. They don't have a meeting today. But, I was just curious what the idea was. What are you thinking about? It caught my attention for sure. 437-1620, 437-1620. Meanwhile, the other issue that the county, the Scambia County is dealing with right now is, good Lord, people, 911 is for emergencies. When you call, it's sad that you have to tell people that. But, the problem is if you call 911, we have to respond. And people are abusing the service, not just the 911 calls themselves, but the calls for, an ambulance to come out, the EMS calls. Eric Gilmore talking about this on this podcast yesterday. Now, we had Eric on the show yesterday talking about gas prices and some other things, but this was a slice of the problem that it's just, you kind of, really?
So going forward, we're going to first and foremost hit a campaign that's tries to educate the public on when to call 911. What are, when do you need to call 911? So we just had a situation last night where a lady in a nursing home just didn't want to be there. So we sent an ambulance to go evaluate her. She had no medical emergency or anything, but our crews transported her, but just because she didn't want to be there.
That's not why you call 911.
We had the old saying, you call, we haul. Well, we're not at that point anymore. We can't, you call, we haul. We got to evaluate, assess, and make sure you meet certain criteria to put our resources toward you. So we've had people call to charge your cell phones. We've had people call to turn the TV off. We've had people call, yes.
Can you imagine you're a paramedic and you show up at a scene? And, my TV was on. Can you get that for me? No, I'm just glad there was no battery after the fact, because if you're just, that's ridiculous. And then people who, they just show up and they use it like a taxi service.
They were sitting there ready to go to the hospital. They get to the hospital. They refuse against medical advice. And then they walk across the road to the mall. We have people who call for toothaches. We have people who call, they fell 4 days ago and now they want to go to the hospital. These are things that people could take a ride in a car to their primary care physician or to an urgent care and get those things handled, but they call us. They always call 911.
Hmm. Interesting. Really, really bad. This is really bad. So the county is going to put on an educational push to try to teach people the proper reasons for which you would use the 911 and call for a paramedic or a ambulance. 517 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Oh, somebody texted in. No, you're not wrong. Somebody texted in talking about the acquisition of the Pensacola shipyard and what you might do with that area. And, I don't know what the plan is. That's why I'm going to ask her about it in an hour and a half. But I was talking about the idea of a downtown walking entertainment district. He says, sounds like Community Maritime Park that's still sitting there just about totally vacant after all these years. Yeah, you're not wrong. Can't argue with that. But then again, somebody's going to fall over. Maybe the county would be more efficient at developing something than the city. You want another OLF8? OLF downtown. 518 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
some news. Well, everyone's heard about the pipeline hack, and people are actually making it worse by freaking out and panic buying gas. And now thousands of gas stations are out of fuel. See, this probably explains why my Uber driver gave me a piggyback to 30 Rock. A gas shortage. Right now, there's probably a guy who just got home like, honey, throw away all the toilet paper. We got to clear space for gasoline. We got to do it. Honey, are you okay?
And then I don't know if you saw this picture. It kind of was making the rounds over the last couple of days of this couple into their SUV with the, you know, 18 5-gallon cans of gas as they're shoveling it. You know, just trying to, you know, stock up on what they thought was going to be the apocalypse impending.
People are panic buying gas. And one couple stocking up went viral today. Look at this. Yeah. They drove about 8 feet before they passed out from the fumes. And that was a minivan, too, so you know there are kids involved. Should we roll down the windows? Hunter looks sleepy, honey. Well, at least they use proper containers. Listen to what other people are putting gasoline into.
Oh, this is craziness.
The panic buying of gas on the East Coast getting so bad. Take a look at what the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission just tweeted out saying, do not fill plastic bags with gasoline.
Just like that, we're right back in the world's do not travel list. I mean, some people are like, would it be safer if I put the gasoline in balloons and I swallow them?
I know, Mark, you shared that with me yesterday, and I just thought, oh, my God.
Yeah, I was like, okay, we're doomed.
Yeah, if you're counting on common sense and self-restraint and good judgment.
Go somewhere else.
Yeah, which planet? Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
More children rolling up their sleeves to get protected against coronavirus. Several states starting Pfizer vaccines for 12 to 15-year-olds today. The CDC signed off yesterday. A Tennessee bridge that sees 50,000 cars a day is shut down, perhaps for months. It's on I-40 in Memphis, connects the city with Arkansas. Seems crews found a crack during a routine inspection. Drivers now facing an abundance of detours.
Here she is now for her season 18 premiere, Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, well, bad news for Ellen fans. She's calling it quits.
I didn't think I'd be emotional because I really am prepared for this. I've really given it a lot of thought, but emotional.
The pioneering talk show host sat down for an interview with the Today Show after announcing her decision to make the 19th season of The Ellen Show her last. Comes a year after a year of controversy, including that toxic workplace claims. Asked during the interview, she felt she'd been canceled. DeGeneres said she felt like something orchestrated had gone on.
I guess that's what happens when you have a toxic workplace. And then you try to just move by it in the manner that she did. But, yeah, I mean, clearly her ratings have gone down. And now I think this is probably the best thing for her. Just do another season. Let
we
it
like
be the
to
farewell
watch her,
tour.
We like to watch her Game of Games show.
That's a really fun show.
Yeah, it is.
That is a really fun show. Also, I like the 12 Days of Christmas that she does.
Yep.
That's a really fun one.
Yeah.
Every year, my family and I have been unable
next
to get tickets.
Last one.
Last one. Mark, thank you for the update. 437-1620, 437-1620. I need to go back to the gas shortage real quick. There's a show, First Light, that we do on the air before we... Andrew, I don't know if you catch First Light when you hop in your car. I know it's not a long drive for both of us.
Usually, about a minute of it, usually, yeah.
But they were saying, in the pursuit, they had an expert from Northern Arizona University, that in the pursuit of people panic buying, they actually wasted more gas.
I believe it's kind of like all the green technology, you know, all this. I mean, there are times when in an effort to create some kind of a green technology, you actually spend more carbon or you burn more fuel just to produce the whatever the green thing is. And, you know, there have been studies like that about, I don't know, bike riding, you know, where you're producing so much more. This is not the best example, but there have been cases like that where people look at what's actually being done in terms of farming to produce the food that the people consume in order to have the energy to ride the bike, and it doesn't beat a car. It's kind of the long-term analysis of that. So, the waiting around again. And that's the other thing for me that I think about is, like, when people are waiting in line, how much are you spending idling?
Yeah,
and if you're driving around town, and I'll be frank, when we were having and by the way, like we said yesterday, it's all over for us. We're fine. We're back to normal. No big deal. The shutdown that they've now restarted their pipeline, of course, but the East Coast is still suffering from all of that. But we were fine because that wasn't our issue. Not ever was that our issue. But, you know, just interesting to see how people driving around. And I thought the same thing myself. If I'm not going to drive around and look at gas stations in the middle of a gas shortage, because I don't want to run out of gas, and I certainly don't want to contribute to the problem, even as a reporter. But when I thought it was pretty much over on Tuesday afternoon, I ran around and looked. And then yesterday, right after the show, I went and looked. Oh, yeah, we're done. It's good. 525 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Cool, Davis. You know, as we got the baseball season has started up again here locally, we're now, two games done? Right? By the way, what did they do last night? Do you know? They win or lose last night?
Oh, I fell asleep, but I think they won.
All right. So I think they won. So they're 50. They're 500 now on the year. Anyway, Nitro Circus is coming to Wahoo Stadium.
I saw that.
Oh, man.
I used to love watching that show.
Oh, that's fun times. You know, if you don't know Nitro Circus, it's good stuff. It's very entertaining. So I figure my boys are going to be very interested in that. 437-1620, 437-1620. This work requirement, the work search requirement. See, here's what's interesting about this to me. Yes, of course, people who are looking to people who are going to qualify for unemployment compensation, which I don't have a problem with that. I'm not the biggest fan in the world, but I understand there are certain circumstances. And I think that the system gets abused. And long conversation, okay? But given the fact that we have it, and there's no serious proposal on the table to get rid of unemployment, so, okay, how do we do it wisely? Well, like many other things, you got to make sure that the people who are getting unemployment are really genuinely unemployed, as opposed to just wanting the money and not looking for work. That's the people you want to help, the people who are looking for work and cannot find it, genuinely making an effort. And the problem is, right now, there are allegations, I have to put it that way, because some people think that this is all made up and other people are convinced it's true, that a lot of people are, you know, doing the checkbox, right, going through the motions, pretending. What's interesting to me is we haven't had that requirement in Florida, so I don't know why there would be people even trying to make the effort right now. What's the point of that if they've had a waiver on for the requirement that you prove that you're trying to get work? But that's going to go back into effect Memorial Day, and you're not going to be eligible for unemployment benefits unless you have the, what, five a week that you've tried to work at, which is good. I mean, good, of course. Yes. By now, for sure, we should have done this, given the shortage of workers and the problems with, you know, people not being able to find enough employees to do the stuff that they need done. I mean, like, you know, you heard the interview that Cooper did with Collier Merrill, that you know, they can't find workers, so they had to close Jackson's for lunch or go to limited lunch service because of it. Well, that's a problem, okay? But here's the thing. The additional element of this that I like is the requirement that employers, the business owners, they're going to now report applicants who aren't actually participating in the process. Because what I've heard from business owners is that they'll get, you know, 10 applications in and they call them back and nobody answers the phone. And they don't show up for their interviews because, again, they're just going through the motion. I don't know why they're going through the motion since you haven't had to prove work search. But if we're going to have a work search requirement, then the people who are pretending and not really trying to get a job, report those people. Get them out because they shouldn't be getting unemployment either. So, you know, they're giving you a couple of weeks to get your stuff together. The reason being they don't want to suddenly surprise you not getting a check. What they want is for you to find a job. So if you've been taking unemployment and you haven't really been trying to find a job, you got 2.5 weeks. Go now. Go get a job. Mark, there are plenty of them around.
I'm Jim Chesko with Your Money Now. Remember late last year when the parent company of Wish went public with an IPO price of $24? Well, shares of that company, Context Logic, are less than half that now. After the closing bell today, the online discount retailer reported a first quarter loss that nearly doubled from a year ago and was worse than expected. Wish shares are skidding another 12% in after-hours trading to about 10 bucks. In the day's regular session, stocks took a tumble in the wake of more confirmation of inflation, which fueled concerns that interest rate hikes from the Federal Reserve could happen sooner than previously expected. The major indexes all slid at least 2%, the Dow Jones Industrials falling 681 points, the S&P its worst day since February. If you've been to a Chick-fil-A recently, you may have discovered this. The fast food chain is limiting the number of dipping sauces it gives out, one per item ordered at many of its 2,600 restaurants. Chick-fil-A says it's working hard to try to fix the sauce supply issues as quickly as it can. That's Your Money Now.
AM 1620.
Here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk, as we usually do on a Wednesday, with Pensacola Mayor Grover Robinson. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. Glad to be here.
How did we do in the big rains? Did we have, I know every time there's a big rain, we're always worried about flooding, but over the years it's gotten sort of better and better every single time. There's been a bunch of infrastructure projects that your administration has overseen, the previous administration also. How did we fare this week?
I haven't heard anything other than the normal kind of, when it first comes up, I mean, I've got nothing from our individuals, the usual places kind of come up, but they go down. Obviously, we've got a big push. I think hopefully we've got some stuff. I was talking with Brad Hynote about on Barrancas that we really would like to get sort of that to one of the last push areas. And also there's some stuff up in Scenic Heights. But generally, for the most part, we haven't had, I haven't heard any issues of flooding with some of the rains that we've had. I mean, we definitely have minor street flooding during the rains, but once they calm down, it all runs off.
Outstanding. Well, that's always the good news we like to hear. Something came up in the press conference, I think, briefly, or the agenda, I forget, but I wasn't able to ask about it, and I'm curious. The possibility of a speed reduction on Pace Boulevard, where and from what to what? Do you know? This is a TPO thing, right?
I can't remember the southern terminus. I was thinking is either Cervantes or Garden, but it goes all the way to Massachusetts. There's been an attempt. There have been a number of bike and pedestrian accidents on Pace.
Yeah.
Most of that section is in the county jurisdiction. We were supporting the county and happy to do so in any way we can. They apparently were working with FDOT District 3. I know Bike Pensacola is working on that. We were happy to support the effort. It's not a significant portion of it. It's not in the city, but it's in the county. But obviously, we are working very diligently to make all of the west side, all of Pensacola downtown, all the way up to the east. We've been trying to work. To make our, it works for bikes and pedestrians. We hired our own, we've got our own person for dealing with that, Mike Z. So, we've been working hard supporting anything that becomes safer for bikes and pedestrians.
Well, but what, I mean, obviously Cervantes, the basic issue we learned there is that the street structurally is built for like 50. So you tell people to slow down, they won't until the street looks different. Same thing on Pace. I mean, it looks like a street you could go 50 on and people...
I think
What's the actual target speed limit there? What are they looking to slow it down to?
I think they were trying to slow it down from the 35, 30. So anyways, we're trying to work with them on that and see what we can do.
Okay.
That's what we're trying to move it down to. But I don't disagree. I mean, there's just been a number of people hit in that corridor. And our goal was to support the county any way we can.
Yeah, and I mean, you
we're happy to support.
You know the reality as well as I do. Until pedestrians and bicyclists behave differently on a street that drivers think should be 50 miles an hour, you can't solve that just with signage, right? I mean, it's like Ciclovia. If you drive down Pace, there's bikes and people all over the place all the time. It's just that's the nature of it.
I think this is a first step in those I think at some point you might see something similar to what's going on with Cervantes, going on in Pace, trying to take care of that. But that's going to be probably more of a county initiative.
but we're happy to help.
Okay. The other, obviously, there's been a lot of attention paid to a couple of things related to the Five Flags history and the Confederate flag. First item, PPD badges / insignia. $300,000 seems like an awful lot, but I looked at the list of some of the things, and it's a lot of stuff. Will this come out of general fund? This won't be coming out of PPD money, right?
We have no intention of taking it out of PPD money. I mean, we were very clear when that recommendation came forward. We were very clear at this point right now. If this is something the public and the council want to do, the initiative is there. They can vote on this Thursday night. They can decide how they want to do it. We will not be taking it out of that fund. And you know, I found it interesting, some of the people, the comments. If you remember, there was a lot of comments when it first came out of the group. There were people went on the radio saying, you know, the mayor needs to do this immediately. Well, you know, we said we're going to go check and see how much it costs. We'll figure out what's going on. But, yep. You know, now people are saying, oh, we just need to implement it over time. All right, how do you – if you say – this is a problem. How do you have one officer with one badge and another officer with another badge? To me, this is either you're all in or you're all out. And at this point, the council needs to make that decision. They'll make the decision Thursday night. Whatever happens, happens, and we'll move forward.
And which, by the way, you know, the gradual rollout might work if you had a very, very small force or a very, very small number of insignia that were in use. And, for example, as we've seen with the fire department, Chief Craner has been gradually adapting over time to the Florida flag, not the Confederate flag. But that's easy for her because it's a much smaller scale of changeover, right?
I mean, she would say this isn't even when I talked to her after the press conference, she said this isn't apples to oranges. This is apples to brake fluid. It's that different between what it is with PPD and PFD. It's not even close in PFD. I mean, they don't have nearly the stuff. It's a much smaller rollout. It's not on individual. It's a patch on theirs. It's not in anything dealing with badges.
Yeah.
They have many fewer cars. So it's a much easier transition at that way at PFD. At PFD, it's just not going to be that easy. I mean, it either we all do it in or we don't do it. And the council has to make that decision.
You know, one of the other things that came up, but it did not get approved as an agenda item, which I think it'll just come back in a week or two, is Sherry Myers wanted to also remove the Chipley Monument in the square downtown on Palafox. You know, I know in the past you have obviously preferred to keep history and educate, but just your sense of things, I mean, where is this going? Is that going to be removed at some point too, do you think?
Did you see it get any support
not
on
yet.
The gender review anchor?
Not yet.
At this particular time, I don't see anything along those lines. I mean, it would have to be, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's up to council. I mean, whatever they want to do, I did not see council support on that.
All right, very good. And we're talking to Mayor Grover Robinson, City of Pensacola. We got news yesterday that the ferries are, in fact, approved to start operation again this Friday with early in the morning, going Monday through Thursday anyway next week, that they're going to be actually commuters' hours, right?
That's the deal I was most excited about. As you know, Andrew, every Monday I talk about that at my press conference, and then something happens, it doesn't happen. So this Monday we didn't talk about it, and sure enough, it's ready to go.
That's
so,
right.
So you know, that's why we did not. I told Casey we're not talking about it, and sure enough, we didn't talk about it, and it came out, and it's going to work. So that's been our frustration. Every time we're told it's going to happen, and then we announce it, and nothing happened. So glad to see it's finally coming to fruition. The exciting part is also obviously the bridge. Hearing last week that everything is basically in. It just needs a cure for the two-lane, and they're working diligently to get the four-lane. It would be nice if we could get some – if we get some good weather, but you know, they're also now working on the landing. I have seen since we had the press conference on Monday, I have seen some asphalt on the west side of the flyover. They still have to put in the guardrails on that side, but as soon as that gets done, hopefully everything's working to make everything going to happen by the end of the month. I mean, I know we'd love to see it open before now, but again, that's what we could do. But obviously we've made a decision in-house to go back to kind of some commuting for those individuals.
that we have that are in Santa Rosa, because it's such a long way, and with the gas issue, we've sort of talked to directors about working with their staff and who can, if it's not mission critical and somebody can telecommute during this time period, obviously because of the challenges of how long that distance is. We've been trying to work with people within our employment area until we can get to next Monday, when hopefully some of this gas thing shakes out and we get back to some regular supply.
Last thing I want to bring up with you, Mr. Mayor, is I want to give your office credit. I don't know who is responsible for the credit, but as you know, I often go with Ocean Hour with my sons, and we do their Bright Futures Hours, and we're cleaning up Bay Bluffs Park. Down at the beach, at the bottom of the boardwalk, you know, there's one entrance to the north and one entrance to the south, and then is the boardwalk a big U-shape. Down in the middle bottom of the U, everybody tries to go to the beach from there. It was broken for a long time, and somebody had the foresight to install stairs and a guardrail so that you can go down at that little beach access right there. Brilliant, wonderful, should have been done years ago. Kudos to whoever decided that. Do you know who made that decision?
Well, that's over in our parks area, so we've been working on some of those things. We've been dealing with it. I see your stuff and talk about some of the garbage that's down there. We've had crews go down there, so we try to respond and try to get out there when we hear what's going on and keep things clean and keep the access available. So, you know, it's one of those things where you don't know every time what's there, but sometimes that is one of the positive benefits of social media. When you can see issues that are problems, it's easier for you to address those with staff and get those things done.
Well, yeah, and in this case, it's a positive thing. This wasn't even the trash stuff. This was somebody built a stair, and great. It should have been done a long time ago. It's a wonderful thing. So I just wanted to give your office praise for that happening, improving public access down at the beach at Bay Bluffs Park. Mr. Grover Robinson, he is the mayor of Pensacola. Mayor, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks so much for the time this morning. I appreciate it.
You take care, Andrew. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. 548 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Morning, 5:50 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
President Biden meeting with more Republicans today about his infrastructure plan. He'll be talking to six senators. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says they want to reach an outcome, but the House GOP leader doesn't want the package to include home health.
Why did the Senate stop paying attention to the CDC? You said he's going to meet with six senators.
Six senators.
Oh, okay.
Stop right. That.
Go on, Mark.
A House Republican loyal to former President Trump catching some heat for his comments during yesterday's House hearing on security issues at the Capitol. Congressman Andrew Clyde says, well, there was no riot.
There was no insurrection, and to call it an insurrection, in my opinion, is a bold-faced lie. You know, if you didn't know the TV footage was a video from January the 6th, you would actually think it was a normal tourist visit.
Some of his colleagues calling his comments sickening and despicable.
I think regular tourism visit there. I think you can have a meaningful conversation about whether insurrection is the right term. Clearly a riot, and certainly clearly not just an ordinary tourist visit. Well, the inside video of the rotunda, yes, but the rest of it,
I wouldn't call that a regular tourist visit either.
There was just that one shot that I watched where the people were kind of milling through the rotunda with the rope line on either side and didn't know what to do, and they, you know, they're in the middle of a riot in the middle of the Capitol, and they're still following the velvet rope line. that one didn't look so bad, but yeah, to call it a tourist visit, I mean, it's just absurd.
Yeah, just another day at the office.
There you go.
Say goodbye to Uncle Ben's. Here we go. Mars Food confirming the name and packaging changing to Ben's Original. The rice boxes, of course, have featured the white-haired black man since 1940, but critics say it evokes servitude.
So it's going to be Ben's Original.
Ben's Original.
Did they get rid of the black guy?
I haven't actually seen the package.
Because if they're hiding black people from the labeling, that seems like an issue to me. No. But remember when this first came. So what's the visual going to be? We don't know yet.
Let's see.
Just Ben with no picture of a person.
Ben's Original.
Nothing yet.
No picture.
Well, thank goodness we don't show black people on boxes for rice anymore.
Just Ben's original.
Well, thanks, Mark. You're the best.
I know.
You don't make the stories up. You just communicate them, right?
I just pass along
that's right.
The
fair
information.
Enough. 5:53 on News Radio 92. That to me is the funniest part about all this is if you get rid of Aunt Jemima and you get rid of Uncle Ben, and you know what you're really doing is you're whitewashing the store. You're getting rid of all of the black people from all of the labeling. That doesn't seem like the most pro-diversity movement, but maybe I misunderstand. You know, what do I know about any of this stuff, right? 5:54 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Just kind of an interesting note for those of you who care about military aviation, and I know given our community, that's a lot of you, compared to, you know, somewhere else where they just don't have 1, 2, 3, 4 bases here locally. It looks like the F-22 might be for not much longer. There's a plan in the works to cut the number of fighter airframes for the Air Force and to basically stop using the F-22 in the near future. Now, they're basically talking about a 4+1 plan, which would be the F-35, of course, although very interesting recent congressional hearing that I was listening to the other day about that. That program is a mess. It's an amazing machine that costs way too much, and their ability to resupply it. And there's a lot. It's actually a really big story, but I don't have time to go. Well, I'll take 2 seconds. Remember how the Russians were selling the Turks this surface-to-air missile technology, you know, that we didn't want them to have? And we kept telling them, hey, if you do this, you're not going to be able to manufacture the parts for the F-35, which Turkey is a major production partner for the F-35. And then because we don't want the Russians to have access potentially to the data that their surface-to-air batteries might gather by doing practices against the F-35. That's kind of the short version of a long story. So we told Turkey, if you buy from the Russians, you can't have the F-35 program anymore. And they said, okay, we'll still buy from the Russians. So we said, no more F-35 program. Well, as a result, all of the supply chain that comes out of Turkey is all not available. So now we're short engines, parts. it's a mess. And that's not the only issue, but that was a major wrinkle in this whole conversation about why the F-35 is having its maintenance issues and why the F-35 is having cost problems right now. Anyway, like I said, it's a complicated topic. There's a lot to it. But the F-35, everybody's committed to the F-35, got to have it. Okay, fine. The F-15EX, that's the new one. That's the one they're doing testing on at Eglin. They got two of them over there right now. The old Eagle now remodeled with modern technology. The F-16, the Viper, the Fighting Falcon. And the one that's still in development, the next generation air dominance fighter, the NGAD, plus the A-10 Thunderbolt is kind of an add-on. It's not a fighter, technically. So anyway, the F-22 is going to be replaced by the NGAD whenever it gets going, going to fly along the F-35. And it's weird because the F-22 is such an amazing machine. We've got about 186 of them right now. They're about 12 years old on average, but we just don't use them much. And so we're kind of moving past the massively expensive F-22 or the Raptor program that we're just not going to, I guess we're just going to move on to the next thing, and that'll be that. It's too bad, too, because it is a phenomenal plane. Of course, a bunch of them were damaged here locally at Tyndall in 2018 when Michael struck. And, you know, so it's a little bit relevant to our local, you know, aviation community, and certainly to Eglin, where they do all the testing for the new platforms like they're doing for the EX. Anyway, just kind of an interesting thing. They're trying to shrink the number of fighters that they're working with in the Air Force, and the F-22 looks like we've kind of decided we're done with it, maybe. 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Yeah, so we got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in, and you might know that one more as a Kanye, but Jay-Z's on that, is that right?
Jay-Z did the album with Kanye.
I got it.
The whole album.
Fair enough. And Carole King and Foo Fighters and LL Cool J. So who am I missing? One or two others that I'm missing.
Todd Rundgren.
That's right, Todd Rundgren. And I know there's
Tina Turner?
Tina Turner, that's right.